Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Croppens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show. So now it's later. It's 8:48 p.m. And Carl is sitting with Dara and KJ on the couch. And KJ's like, what do you do for fun, Dara? Like, what's your hobby? Am I flirting? She's like, I read. I like to read. Whoa, it's like a really good hobby, actually. She goes, yeah. And I go to the movie alone a lot. Can't stand other fucking people right next to me eating their popcorn. Why do we not have popcorn? It's so loud. Stupid America.
Oh, yeah. I watch movies myself. That's like my favorite thing to do, watching movies myself. So if you're trying to ask me to the movies, you see the problem in that, right? That would be two of us at a movie, and I don't do that.
We should go on a film forum. Well, you're going to have to sit five rows behind me.
What are they going to see at the film forum? That's my favorite part. The two people from Summer House are going to go to the film forum.
What is a film forum? What is that?
It's like an art house. Like, it's indie, down the village, movie theater. I went there, and I remember going there in high school. In high school, I had like this whole like I'm artsy phase. And I would take the train down to the city and go see movies at the Angelica Film Center. And
I'd see something. Yeah, that's where I would go.
Yeah, you know, and I remember seeing like Foxy Brown at the film forum because I was like very much into like, wow, blaxploitation, what an interesting genre.
Foxy Brown. Is film forum the same as Angelica?
No, but they're like right near each other and it's like that same thing. You just see really like documentaries or a foreign film or something and you're like Angelica. Sophisticated. I mean, you actually are. I'm like making it sound like it's pretentious, like it's legitimately sophisticated and like we don't have that in Los Angeles. Like, there's literally nowhere to see independent films in Los Angeles. It's like,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I think there's like maybe one place.
Even the movie theater on Sunset and Crescent, that one used to have some of them, but now it's a big CVS sign, even though there's still a movie theater in there. I hate that fucking CVS sign up there. It makes me crazy every time I see it. It's so disrespectful. It's like there's a town of movies. Get the fucking CVS sign off of there and put the movie signs back up.
I literally saw Wicked for Good in that theater, which formerly was the place to see your independent movies. It's so sad.
Why would you see Wicked for Good there? You got to go see that on like a big crazy screen. Of course, then you have to deal with all the idiots in there.
Yeah. I didn't want to go to the Grove. I remember the Angelica, I saw Clerks at the Angelica Film Center, whatever. And that I feel like is the most 90s thing I could have ever done in my life is seeing Clerks at the Angelica.
Yeah, I saw a lot there. I saw like Big Fish. I saw a lot of them. Not Big Fish. The one with who cares? Nobody cares about this. Okay,
Rumblefish. So,
the one with never mind.
Mary McDonald.
Yes, Mary McDonald.
Yeah,
isn't that Big Fish?
No, it was something else with the fish.
Something Go Fish. Something like that. Okay, so something Fish.
The Fish Report.
Mary McDonald. Fish Report. Fish Report. Mary McDonald does a Fish Report.
We should also, by the way, resurrect Mary McDonald. Where is she these days? Passion Fish is the name of the movie.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great film with Alfre Woodard.
Yes. Oh, Alfre. Loved her. Okay, so they're talking about reading movies and stuff, and they decide to go on a movie date. So now we go to KJ and Jesse, and KJ is asking if Sierra's okay, and Jesse's like, I don't know. I haven't seen or heard from her in hours. Well, I don't know. And then Dara and Ben are continuing the flirting in his room. So Dara goes from KJ and goes to get some more Ben flirts. And we see it, and she's pretty good. She is a really good flirt. I mean, she's like, so, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, lying on the bed. Oh, really? What are you, a big bed layer? Love bed laying. Yeah, maybe I'll lay right here on the bed. He's like, all right. Oh, is it all right? Is it all right? Because beds are great. This bed's calling me. He's like, okay.
You ever see a movie alone?
I do.
So then meanwhile,
I've got a bed. You got a doorknob or a broomstick? Sorry, I was still thinking about movies.
You know what I love? Marissa Tomei in the feature film In the Bedroom, which is where we are. So Bailey is watching this and she's like, oh my God, I have to tell you something, Levi. First of all, wow, Levi, you're here. Second of all, Darren Ben, wow, he's gone. He's locked in. They're locked in. It's over. I lost my chance. It's done. And Levi's like, really? She cracked him? Totally cracked. It looked like they were on The Bachelor. I mean, I even brought him the sweet green salad, and I can't even give it to him. It's too late. The opportunity's closed.
Daryl walking around beaming her lashes at every boy, then like melting, and them like melting. I mean, it's making me realize I do not stand a chance. And what I was doing with Ben, that was not flirting. Why don't I know how to flirt, everybody?
She's just in her own little modern Jane Austen storyline on this show. Everyone else is just partying and getting drunk, and she's just like pining after people in the corner.
She's very like, I'm on a show, and my storyline is I don't know how to flirt, and I'm going to hit it home in every single scene that I do. So then me and Sierra are creeped out because they're in bed, and something keeps making their doors shake. And they're like, oh my God, it's the ghost.
Oh, it's the ghost of Turkey Legs Past. That was a really good run of software. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
It was so good.
Nailed it.
Yeah. It was the ghost of me because I started going upstairs and then I realized, wait a second, I'm downstairs now. I'm in the mix. So I left. So it's the ghost of me up on the second floor. What can I say? Oh, next morning, time to start cleaning, everyone.
So they're cleaning and there's all this junk in the backyard and Jesse's like trying to make small talk with Sierra and he's like, hey, so do you have plans this week? And she's like, long pause. Just got to clean my apartment, get some furniture delivered, not hanging out with you. He's like,
so can we have a segment of old men complaining about things? Because this, I mean, I know that's our whole show pretty much, at least like on my end. But this, how they were cleaning up the backyard was so annoying. Well, first off, she had a trash picker-upper, which I liked. You know, she had one of those grabby things instead of touching it with her hands. Okay, that's not my problem. They were taking all the booze and all the cans and emptying them just all over the grass. That's disgusting. Do you do that? Do you find that acceptable? I was like, no, hell no. And if I was renting at that house, I would be pissed. I would be marking that down. Let's fly.
I'm trying to think of where I would pour the booze out. I'm like genuinely just
a bucket, and then you take it into the sink.
I think what I would do is I would gather everything and bring it to the kitchen and pour it down the drain. Yeah. I don't know. So when sometimes when I'm outside, that's a bad example because I've got a drain in my driveway. So sometimes if I get home and I have like nothing but like a little bit of ice in my coffee that I had in my car, I'll pour the ice down the drain in the driveway, but I don't just like pour it into the plants. Yeah. Got to think about that one. Yeah, leave a comment, everyone, on where.
But like hundreds of cans, just pouring them all up. I was horrified. I was like, "How dare you treat my property like this?" Even though
that's the least of that grass's issue. Is the lover boy? You know,
I guess a lot of there's like a turkey leg with flies all over it. And just
that was disgusting. I was mad at that. I was like, "Who is the person who just threw a turkey leg down on the ground? Like, you're a monster."
Yeah. Jesus. So, Jesse's like, "Oh no, I can tell Sierra's upset." He's doing his frown face. He's like, I can tell Sierra's upset. I'm hoping it's not at me, but I'm afraid it is. I just feel like no matter what happens, I always mess up.
So now they all leave, and Carl whispers to KJ. He's like, hey, you know what's crazy about Lindsay's car, that Kia? I pay for half of it, and I used to own half of it. It's not crazy. It's own half a car. It's like wild. Carl,
get over it. That's how I feel every time I pass a school. I'm like, I paid for that school. Everyone wants it.
Seriously. Seriously. KJ's like, that would trip me out, bro. Like, to be honest, like, that would trip me out more than me not thinking about my sisters when I hit on girls. I'm just trying not to be a lover boy.
Well, I mean, it is a trip, but I mean, it couldn't have gone better because I just didn't want it to be awkward for anybody else to argue about the Kia. So Lindsay can have it. You know, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Oh, I gave Lindsay that Kia. So she's welcome.
Yeah. Okay, Carl. Then everyone just says goodbye and they all leave. Now we're in the city. So it's Monday. Kyle and West play golf. They go to like one of those indoor golf places where you hit the balls at a screen. And so they have fun there. And then it's Tuesday. And Lindsay's baby removing her outlets. She's sticking things in all the outlets to make sure the baby is fine. I'm surprised she didn't do that for Carl, to be honest. Yeah, and then
she's like, oh my God, I have to baby proof this because I have a genius baby. I was like, no, genius babies do not stick their fingers in outlets. So just baby babies, around. Regular baby.
Just a baby.
Well, I guess she was saying it's genius because Gemma will take the, she'll know how to take the covers off or something. but also.
Or she's so inquisitive as a baby that she wants to touch every hole.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Then we have KJ meeting up with Dara for drinks at this place called like 82 Stanton. And KJ's like, hey, I just texted you. You did? Because I didn't get a text. You ordered a drink without me? Wow. Starting off on the strongest of notes. Real weird. Okay, bro. Like, I could be like hanging out with an Australian bachelor and this is how you treat me? Okay, fine. Like, oh, man. Wow. I didn't really mean to mess up. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to give you a hug. Because otherwise, it'll just feel weird for the rest of the time. So let's do this. Let's just get the hug over with. Okay, you've been hugged. Congratulations.
So he gets her a drink and he gets himself a matching drink. A matching spritz, but he's also got his Guinness there. So, man, this guy's not kidding around. It's like first date, double fisting it. You go. So KJ is like, after the party, like, we were definitely texting and talking on the phone, FaceTiming. And, you know, like, I didn't want to get into a relationship this summer because I'm a lover boy, but we'll see how that goes. Ha ha. So she's like, oh, I see you're still wearing my earrings. And he's like, yeah. And when I wake up, I thought of you every day this week.
She's like, oh, well, that's really exciting. And she's like, so am I blushing? Because I hope I'm not. He's like, yeah. So I'm going to tell you this, like, literally after I gave a tour of the backyard, I was like, well, this is kind of like a fun experience. Like, this would be great. But then, like, all of a sudden I saw Ben and I was like, damn. Because, like, I mean, you guys were, like, talking and, like, he's giving you attention and stuff. And, like, then I started to feel a certain type of way when you and Ben were talking. But I was like, dang. I'm like, I actually like her. I'm like, sir, to me, I was like, does this count as game? You're talking about another guy. And then you're also kind of saying that you're jealous. You're already showing your jealousy.
Yeah, that's what he was having a first date. Like, yeah, I mean, I like you, but I think you like that other guy. And he's like way hotter than me. Like, what are you even doing with me? You got to have Ben. Like, what are you even doing? What are you doing, bro? Stop.
He's like asking for pity, but also showing jealousy, but then also spinning it like it's some sort of sign of dedication. And she's like, yeah, I mean, that was nice. I just like want to clarify because like I think I'm like not trying to make you feel like it's like some sort of like weird competition. He's like, so you don't like Ben? She's like, I mean, no. But everyone likes Ben. Come on. Say you like Ben. Say you like him.
Oh, my God. Stop being disappointed hearing that I don't like Ben. I mean, what the hell? And he's like, well, but like everyone likes Ben. Like he's even given me a halfie. Like, I mean, he's a male model. He's mature. Like he's in his 30s. He's got hair. She's like, aren't you a male model too? And he's like, yeah, but I'm just like a baby male model. I'm like an Oshkosh male model who does skateboard tricks. It's different.
Well, I mean, I can see why girls would like him for sure. But for me, there wasn't a lot of chemistry, just some hair. It's like, wow, have you felt chemistry with us? And she's like, yeah, I don't think I would have relinquished the time to come here if I didn't feel the chemistry. Wow, you felt chemistry? Like, honestly, KJ is kind of annoying on a date, I have to say. Just reading it back, I'm like, this is really annoying. I would not like this at all.
He is. And I thought someone like her, I mean, she's just so self-assured and confident. I thought she'd be like, oh my God, you're a wuss. Like, I thought she was going to be like, you okay, like good to meet you. No, absolutely not. But she liked it. She loved it.
Yeah, she loved it. Because he's like, this is all new to me. This summer, I was like, all right, I'm going to be single. I'm going to enjoy myself and have a good time. Like, why are you saying that part too? This summer, I just want to sleep around a lot, you know?
But he's also getting it in there, you see? So part of me is like, is he just tricking me? Because he's also getting it in there, just like they always do. Well, I'm not really looking for anything. This is my summer of fun. So we'll see. She's like, so you want to be single? And he's like, well, I did. And then they laugh. So now we go to Carl. He's like, oh my God, it's Softbar. Okay, this is a great hallway. That staircase, wow, look at that. There's like a landing there. We could put a DJ booth there.
He's like, basically from like August 1st last year until now, I've been building software. We've been doing pop-ups and we're doing events and just like talking about the good guy clause. But the goal is always to open with an actual location. Because like I have my team and we've been like working together on getting a place up and running. And like we're going to be opening public later in summer. I promise it's happening. Like I swear to God, it's going to happen. And I mean, for as many times I said like this might not work, God, I wish I could bonk myself on the head with a turkey leg. Am I right? But no, it's going to open. It's going to open.
Flashback to Lindsay. You always say what you want to do, but there's not a lot of movement towards actually doing anything that you want to do.
Promise, it's going to open.
So Ben comes to check it out, and he's like, this is why I love New York, because I love being around people who have an idea, and they go for it. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good?
New York is the only place where that happens, unfortunately. It's the only place where people have an idea and go for it. So I'm so glad he's in New York, too. So Carl's like, hey, here's the soft bar. It has a 24-foot high ceiling, which is amazing. He's like, well, from my entrepreneurial perspective, which I don't have since I'm just a model, it takes a lot of balls just to do something like this, especially having a non-alcoholic bar as well. I mean, it's really ambitious. What an interesting idea, a bar that does not serve cocktails. He really swung for the fences, and it looks phenomenal. It's just, fortunately, those fences are very, very far away. Very far away. But you know what they say? That's the way the cookie crumbles. Thank you.
Doesn't that Thank feel you. Amazing?
Thank you.
So I'm looking at the reviews for software. They're pretty good. There's only four, which is weird, right? I'm surprised. I'm surprised that there's only four. He got one star. She said, I've had amazing zero proof cocktails and these just don't measure up. It's like they did their sampling in a region that thinks mayonnaise is spicy. Both the Mr. Feelgood and the High Road aren't what I'd describe as elevated or worth the price point. There are other options nearby. Spend your money there. Wow. Williamsburg really going hard on the soft bars. They've got a lot of them, but he's also got a bunch of four stars and so he's good. He's got like a four. He's got a 4.1 rating on Yelp. So that's pretty good. This place is awesome. Carl killed it. Great drinks. Very chill spot. Free Wi-Fi and supporting people, empowering their lives. Yummy drinks. Great atmosphere. I like the concept. Right. Coffee and cocktails. And he paid for half of Lindsay's Kia. Four stars.
I feel like I'm in a beautiful, roomy SUV, but only half of it. I mean, look, the place looks the place looks great. It'd be interesting to see. We should make a trip to it next time we're. Although we have to go all the way to Brooklyn for it.
It's only the first stop on the train on the L. That's my old stop. Yeah, that's where I used to live.
Yeah, you said the L.
The L. Yeah, it's like the first stop off the L. I guess if it's in Williamsburg.
Bedford.
You got off on Bedford, I'm pretty sure. I haven't really looked it up on maps, but as someone who lived in Williamsburg for about 6 years, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know where it is.
I can tell you where the C-Town is. It's my favorite place.
C-Town sounds like an insult. Go back to C-Town.
That's before Bitch. Before Crappens was even a dream. I used to go to a place called C-Town. Oh, you guys.
C-Town.
Ah, what a dream. Okay, so C-Town. Ben loves it. And Ben's like, how much longer do you have? 5 weeks? 3 weeks? Am I flirting with you?
Oh, no. Because everyone thinks I'm flirting. Okay, no. We've got 3 weeks to finish. 5 weeks opening. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. You know what? I'm not coming this weekend because I got to be here. I got to decide, like, how are we going to have a DJ on that stair landing without them falling backwards and breaking their neck?
Thank you. Because he was like, wow, just being in this space, I got like so many ideas. Like, look, we could put a DJ up there. It's like a tiny stairway landing. That's got to be a fire code issue to put a DJ setup up there. It's like, we're just going to do so many things here.
If you're going to put something on the landing, have your DJ be like like an Alexa that plays music, you know, or an AirPod, whatever those are called. So then, they just talk about it. So then Carl's like, we have a lot of people that work and are founders of non-alc companies. And, Jesse invested, some other close friends and family. I have like some influencers. I have some athletes, you know, like people who play ball, you know, different kinds of ball, all different kinds of ball.
But not Kyle. No. And to be honest, like, he's got so much other shit to worry about with Loverboy. And you know what? Like, let's also be honest. Kyle doesn't throw a ball. So, not really a ball thrower. So,
yeah. I invested $15,000 in 2019 in Loverboy. Huh. And I didn't have a lot of money back in 2019, but I just, like, believed in him so much. And I knew the power of what he was building, and I really felt like there was something there. So I had hope, but maybe for the same return. But he was like, I'm just not in a position to invest, and the message it sends is kind of confusing.
The message is actually pretty clear to me, which is he doesn't believe in what you're doing. Unlike you, who said that Loverboy, you said that you felt like you felt the power of what he was building and that there was something there. I think Kyle is saying, I don't know the power of what you're building, and I don't think that there's something there, so I'm not going to spend the money on this.
We had imagined Carl got his money back, and then he did make salary by being hired there when he couldn't keep a job anywhere else. He made some decent money with Loverboy. So I'm not going to totally diss Kyle on that one, and we do know that Kyle is completely broke because he just had to take 15 grand out of... You know, he had to get his $500,000 to keep Loverboy afloat. So he probably just doesn't have it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do get, like, I invested in yours and you're not going to invest in mine. But I don't know. You're broke. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I think I totally understand why Carl would not be happy about that. I would not take that away from him. But I also feel like, maybe he just doesn't want to throw away $15,000, but we'll see. We'll see how this company goes.
Doesn't want to piss it into the wind. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying that Kyle had a track record.
I can see how Carl would be annoyed, but I also, I'm not going to be fooled by Carl again. I've been fooled by Carl too many times. This is Carl time porno, and I'm not going to fall for Carl's victim act. Like, really hurts me that Kyle couldn't invest. You got you got a lot of money. You got a lot of investors. It's working out. Cry outside. Yeah. That's what I say.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think also, like, Kyle has a proven track record. Like, going into Loverboy, he had a track record as someone who does startups. He had the cat dog, whatever it was that he was doing, the shorts. He does this. And it was a product that he could bring onto the show that he could hawk every single week and, like, he could bring out to the world, So, like, there's a lot of upside. I think with Softbar, it's just a little harder because it's like, ironic, But like, it's more difficult because it's like a location off of Brooklyn and like Carl has no track record and it's a little scary.
Yeah. So Friday, we're driving to the Hamptons now, softly, but without me worrying about the DJ stands. It's huge.
So West KGA, that's the boys' car. And Wes is like, what's up, you fucking brat? Hey, how was your boys this week? Well, I got a text this weekend from my friend Reagan. She works at 82 Staten. And she's like, KJ's literally here on a date right now. Whoa.
Oh, wow. Who's the lucky gal? He's like, it's Dara. Dara, how'd that come about? We were hanging out at the party and I gave her a little tour of the backyard. And Jesse's like, he knows that backyard like the back of his hand. They just start joking, like, here's the pool and here's the pool. So Jesse's like, so KJ says, we hung out, we had a few drinks and we were buzzing. And then we went to Tyler, the Creator, because he had a show. I'm like, sir, I know that sounds like a great time. You went to Tyler, the Creator, he puts on a great show, I'm sure. But you said you were going to go to the Film Forum, and I was waiting for a Film Forum update. What movie did you see? How was the documentary? Did you make out afterwards? And I feel a little bit lied to.
Did you get a kiss goodnight? And he's like, yeah, I got a kiss. And then she came over yesterday, and we made dinner. And Jesse's like, what? Oh, my God, you're basically married. Then what happened? He's like, I left this morning. So they're like, what? You got laid. Yeah.
Oh, didn't he say that she came over to his place? So for him to say, I left this morning, wouldn't you be doing that anyway from your place? But I don't know. I get the gist of what he's saying. I get the gist of what he's saying.
I didn't even catch that.
He's like, normally I wouldn't leave my house after a date. But
well, I did leave this morning.
Today. But I think that's what he meant.
Yeah, he implies that they banged. And he's like, and Jesse's like, oh, Ben's back here silent and he must be devastated. Did you ask permission? And KJ's like, well, Ben, you know, say some shit, please, man. Like, how do you feel, bro? And he's like, mate, I'm all for it. I'm not going to say we didn't have a vibe or anything. At one point, she said, I'm cold. And I said, because the fan's on.
Very hot stuff. It's just such a shame that there's no, I don't know, like a blonde girl who's available in our house. Don't you wish we had someone like that around? Oh, well, too bad.
Yeah, too bad. So sad. But listen, I'm so happy for you. I think it all went great for you, and I'm rooting for you. Good shoot. Good shoot, mate.
Thank you.
Good shoot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good, because I never want anything to come between the boys. Commercials. Here comes one right now. So now we go to Bailey and Levi arriving at the house first for their wacky practical jokes.
Yeah, they have like a plant costume, and that comes like a little planter, and you sit in it, and then you look like a house plant. But then when people walk in, you go boo. So they set that all up. And then KJ, while they're doing that, KJ is like, hey, Jesse, I also had coffee with Sierra yesterday, and I guess word got back to her about what you said to Wes somehow. And then Wes goes, yeah, because of Lindsay. I'm like, don't act like, oh, because of Lindsay. She told you she was going to say something, and you could have been like, please don't say something. Let me handle it. You basically said to her, go do it. Like,
it's not
you can
my
do it.
Place to do it, but it could be your place to do it. Because fucking
and then now
children.
He's like, he's like, oh, man, she's so mean. Why would she betray our trust like that?
Yeah. So Jesse's like, well, I texted her just checking in on her. She didn't respond. So I figured something was off. They're like, yeah, it's a tough situation. Oh, my God, so dramatic. So Bailey and Levi are now dressed as plants, and they're carrying around pots. And they're like, oh, my God, let's hide in the front room and we'll pretend to be trees. It's going to be so crazy. So the first group arrives, and they're like, ah! And then the second group arrives, and they're like, ah! Then the third group arrives, and they're like, ah! Then the fourth group. Okay, is this going to be an hour-long thing?
I enjoyed it, actually. Partially because I thought it was funny, partially because I knew it was something we could go by quickly on the recap. But I did enjoy it. Although I got, you know what? I felt so bad for Sierra. It was like pouring rain, and Sierra went running to go inside, and she just wiped out right on that staircase. I was like, owie, 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 ow.
I know,
and
Sierra like was face first. I'm surprised she wasn't hurt.
I know, seriously. She was also the only one who was not fazed by this plant. She walked in, she's like, what's that? They're like, wah!
She's like, you guys are okay. Losers.
So this went on for a little while, and it sort of concluded with the guy's van, the guy's car arriving. So now there's hugs, and Bailey's like, do I smell bad? I'm sweaty. And Jesse's like, yeah, you smelled better. I think the answer is supposed to be like, no, you smell okay.
Yeah, I thought that was Ben. He was like, you smelled bitter. I was like, oh, gosh, this poor girl. So then Sierra's kind of, you know, just kind of ignores Jesse. And he's like, can we talk before dinner? She's like, yeah, whatever. So then West and Ben are watching the rain, and they're like, wow, this is what life's all about, watching it rain. How do you think Jesse's doing? He's like, well, she's mad at you. It's really not good about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, so Sierra and Jesse go up to her room, and he's like, well, I just feel bad, because he has his frown face, his trapezoidal frown face. And he's like sort of doing that thing where he's like picking at, he's like lying on the bed on the side and like picking at like the quilt with his fingers and like looking down. He's like, I just feel bad. I mean, the boys are telling me that when I said to Wes, would you be upset if I made out with Sierra? That you're like upset. And they said that made you feel like a certain type of way. And like, I feel bad that it like made you feel that way because I didn't mean anything by it. I just feel like, if we were getting flirty, I just wanted to be clear from Wes' perspective and our friendship. It was something that I was never going to pursue. And he's just saying words that like have no meaning behind them.
Yeah, I think just probably brevity would be his friend here, because he's saying like, listen, we're getting flirty and I didn't want Wes to be offended because that's breaking bro code. So I had to ask him how he felt about it. So I asked him in kind of a jokey way. That's it. But it's like five paragraphs. It's like, whoa, I mean... So she's like, but you didn't mean anything by it? And he said, well, I mean, I didn't know what my intention was. Like, I don't know where your head's at. And I just thought it was like the right order of operations. Like, check with your boy. And then if he cares, if he's still hung up, then like, I wouldn't even think about it, you know, because that's not what boys do to boys. Because, you know, we learn very early on in sophomore. She's just like waiting for him to finish, but he never does. I'm sure you know the feeling on this podcast.
Like, oh, Chef, just wait. Me to you.
I'll just wait for him to finish. It's like 10 minutes later. I'm like, and another thing. I pay taxes for children to go to school in my district. I don't even have children.
No, that's me to you. That's like, and then this one time when I was like, I don't know, 14, I went all the way down to the Angelica Film Center and I saw the movie Nadia. It's a black and white movie about a vampire. I was young.
No, I love that. Looking at you on the video screen, like, there he goes. See the memories as they happen. As my man talks about them.
My man. Going to the Angelica Film Center. Sierra, I think what Jesse should be doing in this situation is just asking Sierra how she feels. And like, rather than just coming in like, boom, here's what I was doing. And this is why, like, don't be mad at me. Like, why don't you see, like, check how she feels and you can address it. I don't actually think the instinct to check with your boy, you know, to make sure everything's cool is like the worst instinct in the world, but it is icky, the sense that the guys are treating her like, oh, she has no say in it. That's a bad feeling. It's kind of like, he's kind of like doing Love Island rules where like, I think I want to have a conversation. I'm going to post someone for a chat, but I want to let you know first. So, like, and maybe in the Love Island villa, that seems like more a realistic way to operate. But in real life, it actually just objectifies the other person. But I think he should just do less talking, more listening.
But if he didn't do it, we'd be sitting here like, oh my God, this is breaking bro code, and you're a piece of shit for not doing that. I mean, Jesse can be a douchebag and stuff, and I think he is a douchebag. But let's not let's not undersell what a douchebag Wes is too, because he did come to West. Sorry, that my mic came unplugged. He came to West. West, you know, didn't have the balls to say anything about it really at the time until he was kind of forced to at the end and be like, well, maybe that's uncool or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then West went and told every single person to get them to fight his battle for him, you know. Yep. And when they wouldn't, when he told all the guys and no one fought the battle for him, he relied on Lindsay to do it and then had Lindsay go in there and they got all the girls against Jesse. And then it's like he knows what it's like to be in a bad situation in that house with all the girls. And he purposely did that to Jesse when I think Jesse was actually just kind of doing the right thing. And West is just upset that Jesse would consider going for Sierra at all, because that's that's West's back burner showmats, not Jesse's. West doesn't have any intention for Sierra. So I think West is also a huge piece of shit here. And I think that's a really shitty way to treat your friend. Fortunately for him, the friend is Jesse. And I like watching Jesse get tortured. So, you know, it's a wash.
I think that West should actually getting more shit in this situation, because I think the normal order of operations would be Jesse is catching feelings for Sierra, which is fine. I mean, it is a little bit of a kind of a violation of bro code, but he should have pulled West aside privately, not with like a council of boys, and he should have pulled West aside and he should have been, I don't know, like he should have stood in his feelings and said, I'm interested in Sierra, not be like, maybe I might like jokingly make out with her. He sort of hedges a little bit, like, don't be mad at me. True. And then West, I think if the moment that West says, it's fine, I don't care, you have to actually be about that, because you can't say, it's fine, I don't care, and then have other people make sure the message gets to Sierra, because that actually is a violation of bro code. Because I think if it never got to Sierra, if it just became a thing of like, hey, I'm interested in this girl, I want to check with you first because I don't want to like mess up our relationship. He says, go for it. And then then Jesse makes moves on Sierra. I think that's like normal. I think that's like okay to do that. But because Wes then made sure Sierra found out that the discussions held back and forth, it makes her feel more objectified than it is. And so that's, believe it or not, like West is kind of the bigger bro code
West
violator.
Is the bigger asshole in this situation.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
He made sure that she felt like this was she knew that this was being discussed in a group with people, in a laughing way, weren't being taken very seriously. It just made her feel like shit. So that was shitty of West, I think, ultimately. Because obviously he did care. So he wasn't even being honest. He should have been like, don't do that. Like that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
He almost,
I mean, they both just handle everything so stupidly. Like, honestly, but then Jesse's also afraid because he doesn't want to be in the situation where he has to be like, but I like Sierra, because then he's going to fuck that up too. I still think he just wants to fuck around as much as he keeps saying, I want a girlfriend.
That's right.
He's not acting like it. So they're both just idiots. So, you know, and then we get to Sierra, who I've already said, like, I wish was just above all of this and had just, I wish this scene was just her shooting down Jesse, period. But you know, I can't control a person's heart, unfortunately.
You can't do it.
The heart wants what it wants. Okay.
Okay. So what it wants.
That's it.
So Sierra's basically like, I guess just weird that you're clearing it with Wes before talking to me about it. Just made me feel like you think of me as a sexual conquest. And now it's your turn. He's like, that's not how I was thinking about you at all. I wasn't thinking in the first place. Well, but hearing that made me feel that way. And then I'm hearing it's a joke. Make out with there was a joke. And if you want to hide behind a joke, like, okay. He's like, no, I wasn't making a joke. Like, if we make out, it would just
be
like,
a joke. It would be a joke. Is that what you're saying? It would be a joke. It's like, oh. But I mean, I feel like we have an attraction. Here's my frown. I'm going to frown smile at you. I feel like we have an attraction to each other, and we're also just friends, and I don't know what I'm, like, hoping for. I don't know. Well, fucking figure it out. Like, what the hell are you going to have a conversation? You've had a whole week to think about this. You did nothing? You did no prep?
No. Sierra is just, she has a nice little monologue here. She talks about how lines are so blurred, and I love you as a friend, and I'm obviously upset because I'm like, why is it that I can express that? Like, I want a boyfriend and I want to be in a relationship and I want to have a friendship with the person I'm with and I want to eventually be married and have kids one day. And then you're just like, oh, you just like picture is just like, oh, this is just like a joke. Let's have like a jokey makeout session. Like, if you're really interested in me, you would ask him for permission to ask me out on a date. If you ask him for permission for fucking anything, not just to make out with me, do you see where I'm coming from? Which, by the way, that's a dumb question for her to ask because I don't think Jesse will ever see anything.
He doesn't.
Where anyone's coming from.
At least this clarified it for me because the whole episode, I was like, oh God, this is so stupid. But I mean, I get this. So she's like, okay, well, at least ask for permission to date me and not just hook up with me, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Which I think is pretty clear. And of course he's still not going to get that. And he's like, well, sorry, I made you feel like an object. You know, I don't want you to feel like that. More like you're the stuffed animal you win in a carnival, you know, and that's more important. It's a bigger thing. You're a prize, not an object. Is that better?
Sorry, I thought you might need a little bit of help in there.
Great shoot, guys. Great shoot. And Sierra's like, well, I mean, this is easy to put it on Jesse, but like it's 75% me. You know, because like, you know, I can feel like we have a good enough relationship for him to come to me and say things like that. But like this reaffirms the theme in my head that people just want to hook up and they just don't want anything serious, you know, and that's like, I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah. And she has like a lot of baggage with her dad and her upbringing that I think informs all this. So she says, yeah, I just want to be seen in this friendship. And I think that's the only thing that I'm like, the main thing I'm fighting for, you know. So we will see what will happen between these two in the fallout.
Time will tell. Situation.
What will happen? But in the meantime, go check out that replay on Kizwe. Go read our newsletter. Go do all of the things. And there was something else I feel like we were supposed to. Oh, and go check out our bonus episode this week, which is free. It's a free bonus episode featuring Rob Cesarnino from Rob Has a Podcast. And we talk about Traitors and Survivor. How cool. So go check that out on our feed. Thanks, everyone, for being here.
Oh, and just for those of you who are wondering, like, I pay for Patreon. Why are you giving out free bonuses? We're doing that this week because we have two free bonuses. So you're still getting a lot of bonus content, but you know, sometimes we also don't want to put these people, you know, who are promoting their own podcast on a feed that doesn't get as many people. So we're to make up for it, we're giving you two free bonuses this week. Okay, everybody. We sure love you guys. Yeah. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.